Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I mentioned we're talking about leftover generosity. So just by a show of hands, I'd like to ask, how many of you like leftovers? That's quite a few. All right. Now, I'm going to have to narrow it down a little bit because I want to know who, really likes leftovers. Not are you willing to eat leftovers? I mean like leftovers to the point where the leftovers are almost or sometimes even better than the original meal. How many of you like are those kind of leftover people? Yeah, okay. Not quite as many, are there? But, you like the leftover mac and cheese that's starting to sort of re-crunchify and get a little bit rubbery, that type of thing, or the tater tot casserole where the tater tots are starting to get soggy and yet somehow at the same time get dried out. I'm not quite sure how that works. Or the chili that's been reheated so many times that you can't tell the difference between the hamburger and the onions and the crushed tomatoes. It's just sort of all one. Yeah. I noticed that there are other people who didn't raise their hands or people who weren't nodding along as I was describing or were actually holding their stomachs because of what I was describing. No, not, I didn't see any of that. But don't think I didn't notice that there were people who don't like leftovers. See, you're who we're talking about today in our text, people who are generous with leftovers. They're the type of people who come along and say, no, you have the leftovers. I'll make something else. Actually, that's not at all what we're talking about in our text for today. I just thought we need to talk about leftovers for a bit because there are two ways we can go with this. One, we're talking about food leftovers, which would seem highly unusual. Or we're talking about leftover generosity in that we're just giving what's left over to the Lord or to others. Actually, none of that is what we're talking about our text from Deuteronomy today. As God is speaking to his people and talking about leftover generosity, he's talking about an attitude of the heart that permeates every aspect of life. And as we talk about that here today, we recognize that this leftover generosity that we're talking about is really a generous offering, a fragrant offering to the Lord from grateful hearts. As we consider that today, please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear Christian friends, as we begin this section from Deuteronomy chapter 24, it's an interesting time in Israelite history. They had, in recent weeks, just been released from 400 years of bondage in slavery. The Lord had heard their cries, and he had delivered them in spectacular fashion. This all-powerful and all-loving God of theirs had just shown, demonstrated his power over creation through the plagues, literally bringing them through the waters to the far side of the Red Sea, his power over their enemies, and his mercy on the captives. He was now establishing them as a nation, the promised people of God, independent of their enemies. And they were gathered there in the relative safety of the wilderness at the foot of Mount Sinai, everyone coming together to talk about the new relationship that they were going to have with their all-powerful, all-loving God. And that's an important thing to keep in mind as we look at the words of our text for today. All Israel was gathered there to receive from the Lord the covenant. God coming to his people and saying, you do this for me, and I'm going to do this for you. And as long as we all do our part, everything's going to be just fine. We call that the law of Moses, God's moral law, like the Ten Commandments, his ceremonial law, which governed worship life for the people, and his civil law, which governed everyday social life for the people. What we're talking about today is part of that civil law, where God provided for people among the people of Israel who were in need, who were destitute, the foreigners who did not have a home, the children who did not have fathers, the wives who did not have husbands. These were precarious situations in Israelite society, and God provides for them right from the start. That's an important point to keep in mind here. It wasn't like this was some afterthought of God. Oh, that's right. There are going to be people who are in need, and we better take care of them. There wasn't some terrible situation that required legislation to fix. God, right from the start, his generous heart, looking out for everyone, especially the destitute of Israelite society. But notice that the God of free and faithful grace, as he says, you know, take care of people in need, there's no threat. There's no take care of morels. God, as he provides for people in need through his people, does so in a way that helps his people to recognize his own generosity, to encourage them as they live out their generosity. He says, remember that you were a slave in Egypt, but the Lord your God redeemed you from there. And everything that goes with that very simple statement. He says, remember how bad you had it. Remember how generously you were released from it. And then remember how you felt after it. And now go and share that same sense of gratitude and joy and relief and generosity with others. Because that's finally his point. Look at all that I have done for you, God says. And then do the same for others. And then he continues by giving them some specific ways in order to express their attitude of gratitude, as you may be familiar with that phrase, through daily life, through leftover generosity. Again, he says, when you harvest the crops in your field and you forget a bundle in the field, do not return to get it. It will be for the benefit of the resident alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in everything your hands do. When you beat your olives off the tree, do not strip the boughs clean of olives. Some are to be left for the benefit of the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. And when you cut the grapes from your vineyard, do not go over it again. Leave some for the benefit of the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. See, as always, the Lord wants the hearts of his people. This isn't about the specific ways. Make sure that you're leaving some grapes and leaving some olives and leaving some grain. He wants it to go deeper than that. He wants it to reach this idea of leftover generosity. He wants it to be rooted in their hearts. He wanted them to joyfully give, even as they were in the process of being given to. You understand that this is harvest time. So as people are going through their fields or going through their vineyard or going through their orchards, they are receiving bounty from the Lord. God is giving them, sustaining them, nurturing them, filling them with all of his goodness. And in the midst of that, he wants them to be mindful that others need to also feel that same sense of receiving generosity from the Lord. Now, of course, there'd be every opportunity in the midst of all of that abundant blessing for them to increase their stores, right? To go through and make sure that they were grinding every last grain, to make sure that they were plucking every, combing every last olive off the branch and grasping at every last grape. And putting it in their own stores for their own blessing, for their own goodness. Of course, on the opposite side of it, there's also that carelessness that goes with it, where you just kind of go and just, well, I'm just going to take and whatever. You know, there's no gratitude for what God is giving. This is just all mine. I planted it. I harvested. It's all mine. There's no room for either one of those attitudes in a generous heart. There's no room for covetousness or carelessness when it comes to responding to the Lord. Our hearts recognize that every grain, every olive, every grape is a blessing from the Lord, not to be used to my purposes, but to the purposes of the Lord. Now, I get it, as you think about that, it would be pretty easy in the midst of abundance to be able to give to others, right? I mean, don't you think that if God would bless you with more, it would be a whole lot easier to be, you know, writing checks to that soup kitchen downtown, or, you know, if you've got cash pretty much falling out of your pockets, to be able to just slide a fiver out as you you know, exit the freeway and the person is standing there with the sign. It'd be a whole lot easier, wouldn't it, if we were just so flush with money that we could just give whenever we wanted to and not have to really give it a thought. I don't know if that's really what God is looking for here. And then again, I suppose when it comes to giving in our world, you know, there are a lot of people out there who may take advantage of your generosity. I mean, that's not really good stewardship, is it? I mean, what if that check you're writing to the soup kitchen, if most of that's just going to administration, I mean, not actually going into food for people, that's not really good stewardship, right? Or maybe the money that you're giving to the guy at the off-ramp is really just going to run to the liquor store and buy a bottle. I mean, that's not what God intends, right? I mean, and if they really don't need what I'm giving, maybe if they're just taking advantage of my generosity, what happens when next time when somebody truly needs from me and I don't have anything to give them? It's not good stewardship. Again, I ask, is that the attitude that God wants from our hearts? Or maybe, and some of you who are students of this will recognize that I did say earlier that this section of Deuteronomy is part of the civil law for Old Testament believers. So that means it doesn't really apply to me, because Jesus came and fulfilled all those laws, and therefore the civil law has no oversight for my life. I don't live under the civil law anymore, or the ceremonial law, just the moral law. And so, I don't have to leave any cherry tomatoes on my vine. I mean, after a while, nobody's going to stop by and pick them up anyway. And it's true. Jesus did come to fulfill the law. He did fulfill it in every way. But you see, he always had the right attitude of the heart. He always did the right thing at the right time, in just the right way. He was always generous. Generous, in fact, to the point of giving up his very life for you and me, for people who are enslaved in our own sin, for people who are so caught up in our own selfish attitudes, our own sinful perspectives, our own covetousness, clinging to what we have, our own excuses for not being the generous people that God wants us to be. So generous was Jesus that he gave his life for yours and mine to make sure that you and I could have the freedom to receive that generous blessing, that released from captivity that God intended. He says, remember that you were a slave, and I'm going to put in here to sin, to put it in our own context, but the Lord your God redeemed you, and he left you with nothing but his own innocence, his own righteousness. He left you with the promise of an eternal life. He left you with not just an attitude of gratitude, but with an opportunity to put it into practice. We can't help but live the same kind of leftover generosity as we live our lives. The People's Bible on the book of Deuteronomy was written by Professor Mark Brown. He quotes 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. He says, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we also should lay down our lives for our brothers. And then he cites author William Deal's Thank God It's Monday book. Here's the section that he talks about. It says, if we affirm that God is concerned about all his creation, then there is no area of society where the priestly role, and think about that as the human link between God's loving message of the gospel and the rest of the world, we who are called to be priests, the priestly role, and is, let's see, the, there is no area of society where the priestly role is not needed. If God cares about justice, then there's need to be Christians carrying out their priestly roles in the political, economic, and social structures of our society. If God cares about the sick and infirm, then there need to be Christians working in the field of health care. God's concern for prisoners is expressed through Christians working in the criminal justice system. If God is to come to the aid of the poor, it will be through the efforts of concerned Christians working in the economic, political, and social institutions of our culture. I don't know if you necessarily caught it there, but that's life. It's living your Christian life. In every facet of it, living leftover generosity. Because you see, it's about the generosity of your heart. A redeemed, restored heart. Now I could stop there and just kind of say amen and you can get on to the rest of your day. And God could have stopped there too. We recognize that God has loved us and in response to his love, we give. That's a nice little circle, right? But this is how good our God is. He doesn't stop there. He doesn't say, I've blessed you, now you blessed others. This is what he comes back to. And I don't know if you necessarily caught it in the middle of what I was reading about leftovers. He says, God will bless you in everything your hands do. So to put it succinctly, God blesses generously. We respond with gratitude by being generous in return, and then he blesses us even more. So that little last little part, that's how good God is. He blesses us, we respond, he blesses us even more, and guess what? That just leads to more gratitude on our hearts, more blessing, more generosity in our parts, God blessing us even more, and it just goes round and round and round like this. That's how good God is, that as we respond to his generosity, he is even more generous with us. And it's not just here in Deuteronomy. Psalm 112 says, good will come to him who's generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. In the book of Proverbs, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. He who shares his food, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians, whoever sows generously will reap generously. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And that generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Blessing, generosity, round and round and round it goes with leftover generosity. But just in case you still don't have it, I'm going to share one last story with you. Dark days in Israel's history. It's the time of the judges. And if you know anything about the book of Judges, you know that the key phrase there is, everyone did as he saw fit. Can you imagine how terrible that must have been? Everybody just doing as they saw fit. Now, there were some bright spots. There were people who continued to worship the Lord. But what oftentimes happened was people would worship, be good with God, and then they would wander off with other idols and gods and wander into all kinds of harmful things. And God would discipline and bring them back, typically through another enemy. And then the people would repent and God would forgive and everything would be good for a while. And they did that again and again and again. Way different than the generosity cycle we've been talking about. But in the midst of all that, one God-fearing family, father, mother, two sons, were living in Bethlehem. It's famine time. God was disciplining his people. So in order to get food for their family, they decided to move off to the west to the land of Moab. In the high plains, the rain was still falling, but in the valleys of Judah, it was famine. They lived there about 10 years. During that time, the two sons married women from Moab. But then the father died, and then the two sons died, and Naomi, the mom, and her two daughters-in-law were left with nothing. Not sure what they were going to do, Naomi suggested, well, I'm going to go back to my people in Bethlehem, and you two go back to your people here in Moab, and we'll make sure that we're taken care of. Well, the two daughters-in-law didn't want to leave their mother-in-law. That was pretty impressive. Eventually, Naomi talked Orpah into going back to her family, but Ruth, no, she stayed with her mother-in-law, and nothing was going to move her. In fact, she came to the point where so committed to her mother-in-law was she, that she said, even your God is my God. And they moved to Bethlehem. Well, they arrive in Bethlehem, and people, of course, get to hear about Naomi and what happened with her family and what Ruth is doing to serve her, because everybody wanted to know who this young woman was with her. She found support among the people there, but she also found sustenance in the words of our text for today. You see, in those days, as people were living the law of Moses, there were sheaves of wheat that were being left in the field and grapes that were being left on the vine and olives that were being left in the orchards, because those are the basics of life. Flour and oil to make bread and wine to drink and to mix with water and drink. Those are your basics, and God had it covered. So Naomi and Ruth are banking on that Levitical, Deuteronomical, I'll just stick with Levitical, it's easier to say, that law to give them something to eat. Now, Ruth, in love for her mother-in-law, says, I don't want you to have to suffer the indignity of having to be out there in the fields at your stage of life picking up sheaves of grain. So she goes and she starts picking up the grain. I'm going to make a long story short here. Ruth was noticed. She was noticed first by the foreman, and then she was noticed by the owner of the field, Boaz. Ruth's generosity towards her mother-in-law was such a blessing, such an inspiration to Boaz, that he instructed the foreman, make sure she gets everything that she needs. He knew her reputation. He knew how she had lived her faith in support of her mother-in-law, blessing her mother-in-law. And he was so moved by that that he was generous himself and shared with her. Again, long story short, Boaz and Ruth end up getting married. Blessing on blessing. And I'm going to take it even further. Boaz and Ruth were the grandparents of King David. King David was the ancestor of the son of David that we know as Jesus Christ. Blessing on blessing on blessing, with generosity on generosity after generosity, all because of our text for today. You know, sometimes I think we struggle to see Jesus in those laws of the Old Testament. It could not be clearer than right here. This law of leftover generosity becomes a way of life that as we live our faith, others are blessed, and God uses all of that for his purposes. Look to the Lord, recognize his blessing in your life, be generous, and know that he will continue to bless even into eternity. God grant it. Amen.